You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci here, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Going to the hotline now and getting the man who has the most quality NFL information on the planet from CBS Sports, NFL insider Jason Lock-Canfora. J-Lox, welcome to the show, bro.
Thanks for having me. It's quality over quantity, right, Nathan?
Absolutely. That's what we're going to do. Now, you are in Baltimore, the Ravens obviously coming off of a tough week one game. What is the tenor of the team and the city as they prepare for a Cleveland Browns team that, well, they quite frankly owned during the Joe Flacco, John Harbaugh era?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's taken anything for granted. The Ravens have been a heck of a home team for quite a while, really, you know, coinciding with that Flacco Harbaugh era. They've got issues on offense. They don't know who's catching the ball, and I think that's really what has the fan base kind of freaked out more than anything else. Is once you get beyond Torrey Smith, and let's face it, Joe Hayden's going to probably do a number on Torrey Smith. I mean, and that's no knock on Torrey Smith, but that's just how it goes, especially with a passing offense that's just limited. You know, people are wondering, the run game didn't show up in week one. You don't know who's going to catch the ball, and the defense. And I believe it will be much better, stronger, younger, and faster as the season goes on. But certainly in the third quarter against Peyton Manning, that was about as bad as it gets. So, you know, I don't think anybody's looking at this as a homecoming game. And yeah, they generally beat the Browns, but I don't know that they usually pound the Browns. It seems like those games are probably closer than they should be on paper at times. You know, so it's obviously a big game. I mean, maybe they can't go 0-2. Someone in this division is going to be 0-2. You know, that's... There's no two ways around that. At least a couple of teams.
Two teams will be. That's right.
Yeah, at least two teams are, unless we have some ties. You know, it's a big game.
Hey, Jason. You know, when we had you on earlier when you were in town. You know, you got into talking about Brandon Whedon, and generally your assessment then was this is not going to be the Browns quarterback after this season. I would say right now there are probably more people that would agree with you than disagree with you after that one game, but there are 15 more to go. This is an opportunity to redeem himself as it is for the entire team. But when you saw or what you've seen of that first performance between the Browns and Dolphins, did it just verify for you? Did you just nod and say, yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking? Or was there anything in that maybe affected how you looked at Whedon?
I mean, I don't want him to fail. You know, it's like I don't have a dog in this fight. I just, you know, he's given his age and given some of his limitations and given some of his struggles, this is not going to be a situation where a guy gets 3-4 years to show he can do it. You know, and not all this is his fault. And, you know, it's not all an indictment on him, but it's just the reality of the situation. You have a very uneven year like last year. You have his advanced age. You have a new regime in there now. And you have a situation where, at the very least, you have to be a game manager. And when you continually get balls knocked out the line of scrimmage, when you take six sacks, when you throw some picks, not that that's all on him, you know, not that some balls didn't hit guys' hands or whatever, but that's, doesn't bode well, you know, for what they're trying to do offensively. And you know, North Turner, he's pretty much proven that he can exert the last ounce of talent out of anyone he works with. I mean, more often than not, that's been the case with him. And so, you know, we get a few more weeks into this, and it's still not working in a North Turner offense. You've got a couple other guys there on the roster. I don't think much has changed. I think it was Brandon Whedon's job to lose out of into training camp, and he didn't lose it in training camp, and then he enters the season and he's the starter, but it's still kind of his job to lose, and he very well may lose it over the course of this regular season, perhaps even sooner rather than later.
Well, let's certainly hope that isn't the case here for the Cleveland Browns, because that would be bad. Let me ask you this, though. How much, without Josh Gordon out there, you see the receivers of the Cleveland Browns struggle so mightily in week one against Miami. And let's be honest, the secondary, not the strength of that Miami Dolphins team. How important is he to this offense? And how much, as an evaluator who's not so much here in Cleveland, how much of a you know, are you going to give Whedon a couple weeks to see what it's like once Gordon is back in this offense? Or are you pretty much, you know, you thought what you saw in week one is what you're going to see? Even with Gordon, he's not that much of a difference maker.
I don't have the highest of expectations for Brandon Whedon, but I could very well be proven wrong. Just, you know, that's sort of talking to people who watch him and you know, around the league and the sense on him. He's in that boat with a lot of guys who I think are kind of fighting for their jobs or to prove that they are starting quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, you make a valid point about Gordon. That's obviously another element of speed and a big body who can get downfield and maybe change the complexity of how teams have to defend him. But, you know, he's also a guy who, you know, let's face it, it's not like he's going out and he's been a game breaker week in and week out also. I mean, they're drop balls. There's inconsistencies with him. He's got to get better route running. I mean, he's still limited. You're not going to see him. I mean, at this stage of his development and in that offense that can be pretty complex, I don't know that he's a guy who's running every route there. You know, I think they'll be pretty smart about letting him do what he does best, and kind of having him try to master those 3 to 5 things rather than talking about, you know, the whole multiplicity of that offense. So, they certainly should be better when he gets back, but he's another guy who has to kind of prove who he is. You know, you see him at his best and you see him at his worst, and, you know, sometimes he's right down the middle, and, you know, you kind of want to know, what do we have depending on here down the stretch? And is he, you know, is this a year where he shows that he's, you know, if not a number one receiver, then at least something like a Torrey Smith to Baltimore, where he's the best of their bunch, and maybe he's not everybody's number one, but he's a 1A or a 1B, or is he something less? We'll find out.
Jason Lockenfor from CBSSports.com is joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jason, taking a broader look at the league right now, what we saw Monday night from the Philadelphia Eagles obviously has created a ton of buzz. Nobody generated more plays in a game than they had, the 53 that they had in the first half. It was an amazing display. How much more of this are we going to see from them, do you think, as far as its sustainability? And what's your take on what you're hearing around the league with regard to league reaction, because finally we know now what Chip Kelly had in mind, which is pretty much bring that Oregon offense to the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reaction was kind of twofold. I mean, I was kind of texting some coordinators and scouts and evaluators through the game, and you know, some of them on the offensive side of the ball were like, holy blank, you know, this is like the most efficient offense I've ever seen. And the defensive side of the ball is getting a lot of tweets like, I hope they play this way against us. Their quarterback won't make it through the game. Look at the protection schemes. Are there protection schemes? You know, so I think he's obviously making a calculated gamble there in Chip Kelly that the pace and intensity with which they play offense will allow them to dictate to the other team so that they get the matchups they want, they get rid of the ball quickly enough, and they move it like they did in the first half, and that'll mitigate the damage done to their quarterback. But the reality is, Michael Vick took some big shots there.
And yes, he did.
It's a long season, and I'll be very interested to see how sustainable it is. And it also takes two to tango. For as good as Philly was in the first half offensively, and it was a tale of two halves, the Washington Redskins were a complete abomination. I mean, they had no sense of purpose. Their quarterback looked like he shouldn't be on the field. They had no dedication to the run game. They're running weird pitch plays by their own end zone. They're turning the ball over left and right. So can't convert a first down, then Chip Kelly will run 60 plays on you. But if you run the ball on them, and you should be able to run the ball on them, and I'm shocked the Redskins didn't do more of it, that defense has its failings there in Philadelphia.
Sure.
And we'll see how it all plays out. But I think, you know, you got to keep watching the issues with the protection, and you got to see that Philadelphia defense, because in the second half you started to see the Redskins pick up yards and chunks. And yeah, they were kind of nursing a lead a little bit there too, so you don't know how much of it was prevent. But I give them credit. The Philly run defense, the way they swarmed the ball, and their ability to get after the passer when Billy Davis did blitz, I was surprised by it. We'll see if they can do it week in, week out.
Staying around the NFL and talking about the AFC North, this was a division many people thought was going to be one of the best in the NFL. They go 0-4 in the first week of the season. The Steelers lose their center, Pouncey, and they look like a team that is struggling. What was your overall impression of this division in week one, and how surprised were you that there is not a team with a single win atop this division right now?
I didn't see that coming. I didn't. And really, I mean, you look at Baltimore and for the, you know, they won that game in the first half, and who knows, if Harbaugh throws that challenge flag, maybe it's a bit of a different game. I certainly don't know if they get steamrolled like they did without giving Peyton that extra chance there. Since he's up 11 late in that game and have a chance to put it away, Mohamed Sanu fumbles the ball kind of weirdly. Trestman goes for a fourth and short and already in field goal range and converts it, and really that kind of changed that game. You know, the Browns, I mean, if, again, that was a case of turnovers as well, kind of undermined them. in that one. And the one biggest surprise to me, though, was Pittsburgh. They got mauled by the Texans. I mean, it was not even as close as the scoreboard looked. I mean, Pittsburgh had no semblance of a clue offensively, and I certainly the Pouncey injury hurt, but they were having big time issues getting out physical there, and it looked like Mike Tomlin's head was going to explode on the sidelines a few times. Sweetsham dinged up. They went and signed Shane Graham. They lose their center. They sign a guy off the street. They bring Dwyer back on the cheap.
Right.
Well, you know, you can't put a, you know, like, you know, you can't put that stake through their hearts, because they you can never write off the Steelers, especially not in week two, because they find a way to get it done. But the state of that offensive line, the run game, and the age on defense, I mean, Ryan Clark was out of the game constantly. He and Troy are not getting any younger. So I think they'll be, and the place that Jake Locker did absolutely nothing. So they were playing against a completely one-dimensional team and still got whacked. So I don't know. Saying all that, maybe they go to Cincy this week and win. I wouldn't think so, but nothing really would surprise me. But part of me would say they can't be that bad again, can they? And if that's who they really are, then look out. I don't think that's who they really are. They'll get Le'Veon Bell back at some point. I got to think the Steelers find a way to run the ball with Pouncey or without it, at least a little bit. And I think Ben could still do some pretty good things in an offense. But that was a shocker.
That was a very interesting start at home against the Tennessee Titans. Well, Jason, thank you so much for joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Look forward to seeing you up in New York this weekend, my man.
Sounds good, buddy. Safe travels.
Thank All right, Jason. You too. Jason Lockenfour from CBS Sports, their NFL insider, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford, we've got much more to come here on CBD, so don't go anywhere.
I used to look into my father's eyes.